Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and let's talk about the Papal Conclave. 115 cardinals enter. One man emerges as the leader of the Catholic Church. And though we don't know what really goes on inside the Sistine Chapel, there's plenty of speculation. David Gibson is a national reporter for Religion News Service covering the Catholic beat, and he joins us from Rome. He even made up some brackets that he calls the Sweet Sistine. David, welcome back. Good afternoon, Rome time.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
And I gather we're just about an hour away from the procession that starts this selection process. At the outset, would you say that the church politics are more important in this election than in the past?
Yeah, I think they really are, in the sense that this is an incredibly wide open conclave, or at least it will be wide open until it isn't. I mean, traditionally, you know, when these cardinals go in, the dynamics that take over, there's a real bandwagon effect. And if somebody jumps out to the lead, you know, everyone says, hey, this is the Holy Spirit. And they kind of tend to all go with that, except if that front runner falters and falls back in the pack, then all of a sudden it's a wide open field and it could go several days. Who knows?
I read that there are generally considered to be two main factions, Vatican insiders and reformers, a group that is said to include Cardinal Dolan from here in New York. Would you say those are the two basic categories, and what would make Dolan a reformer in this context?
Well, I think that is true. There are a lot of permutations within there. There are a number of cardinals in the Curia who don't like what they've seen here. There's a Brazilian cardinal, Braz de Aviz, who got up in these pre-conclave meetings they've been having, closed-door meetings, and really ripped his own curial colleagues, which got a lot of pushback. But, you know, basically it is kind of these insiders versus outsiders. And it's cardinals, I mean, Cardinal Dolan, people like that are, you know, they're not happy with how Rome has been, you know, lurching from one gaffe to another, one crisis to another, and at the same time sending, you know, these orders out to bishops, be it in New York or in Bombay or wherever it might be, and telling them how to run their dioceses, basically. So, you know, there's a lot of resentment, I think, towards the Curia from cardinals outside of Rome and of Italy. The question is, who is best to clean it up? Do you get an Italian, like Cardinal Scola from Milan, who some are saying is the best guy to clean up an Italian situation?
By the way, I have a friend who says Scola could never become pope because they'd never allow the world to have a Pope Scola. And certainly, if he's a large guy, I don't know, Mayor Bloomberg would never approve of a supersized Pope Scola. So we'll see about him.
I think Cardinal Dolan may be running for mayor of New York more than he's running for pope, but he could be a pope maker as much as anything in this conclave.
And when you say the Curia, who does that actually include?
Well, it's a good point. I mean, there are the cardinals who are heads of offices, who are closely associated with the various congregations and basically cabinet departments. This isn't really a bureaucracy as much as it's a kind of a 17th century monarchical court. So it's kind of dysfunctional at the start, but it's these cardinals who are heads of these offices or who have been heads of these offices. There are about 35 to 40 of them out of the 115 electors. Now, a little math, you know, you have to get two-thirds in order to win. You have to get to 77 in order to win. So, you know, if you start out, you've got this block of 40 maybe votes with the Curia, and then you've got 28 Italians, the largest single national bloc by far. That's a big hump to get over.
You need a two-thirds vote, but no one cardinal can filibuster the process to prevent a nomination?
No, but, you know, if you've got that block there, you can just kind of stand pat until, you know, I don't know, they go to your candidate or you find an acceptable compromise candidate. They're talking about, for example, someone like the first American pope might be a North American, Cardinal Marc Ouellette, who's from French Canada, but has been in the Roman Curia for a number of years now.
Catholics in our listening audience, not if you're completely unaffiliated or alienated from the church, but if you actually care who the new pope is it more important to you that he be a charismatic leader, be tough on existing governance problems within the church? What are you actually looking for in a pope if you're a Catholic who cares? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For our guest, David Gibson, national reporter for the Religion News Service, who is in Rome now covering the conclave, 212-433-9692, or post your comment or your question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And it is March, the time of everything madness. So you and your Religion News Service colleagues, I see, put together a Sweet Sistine bracket to be voted on by readers. The actual voting process isn't really a double elimination, though, right?
No. It was just kind of we set up the brackets you're sort of confined to the choices we put out there. It was the top 16, really, that were initially coming out of the gate. You could probably have added a couple of names since then or taken a couple away. But our readers were pretty good. I mean, they had Ouellette being the semifinalist. We just have announced a winner today. It's Cardinal John Onayekin from Nigeria. Fascinating choice.
Based on what did he get voted in by your readers, do you think?
Or just, whoever he eventually got down to the final bracket with Cardinal Ouellette from Canada, and it was a face-off between the two of them. So it was Cardinal Onayekin who won out in that one.
Is Rome ready for a Nigerian pope?
I don't know. It doesn't look like it'll be that this time. I think the world would be ready, and I think the church would be ready. They call John Onayekin the Tim Dolan of Nigeria. Now, some of us who know Cardinal Dolan might think that's a compliment. Other people may not. They might think he's a little too boisterous, a little too gregarious, not enough gravitas. But, there's been so much sort of parsing and prognosticating of all the who's up and who's down now as they're heading into the conclave. But the one thing that has emerged, which I think might disappoint a number of people, is that all this hope of an Obama moment, of them going for the first time outside of Europe for a pope of color, doesn't look like it's going to come to fruition. All the names they're talking about are Cardinal Scola, Cardinal Sandri, who's an Argentine, but born of Italian immigrant parents and moved back to Italy, to Rome, when he was a young man. Again, all the people, Ouellette, all the people that are very old world, traditional European-based type of candidates.
Karen in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
You bet.
I really would like to see a pope come into office that allows priests to be prosecuted for what they do and not hide them and move them to some place where somebody forgets about them, and stop making it a joke of our religion that our priests are all sex offenders. We have to hold them liable for what they do because they're hurting our religion as a whole, and people are just steering away or, laughing at the Catholic religion because of that.
Karen, thank you. And I think some people call this, what she's describing, a Dirty Harry-style pope who could clean up the establishment. Do you think that would win back members who might have had enough of that controversy and fallen away from the church, or might that be one of their goals and who to pick?
Yeah, I think that definitely would be tops on the agenda in terms of let's put it in business terms, in terms of restoring the brand. I mean, the Catholic brand has been really tarnished. The irony, perhaps, as some might see it, is, the best person to do that might be someone from America, Cardinal Dolan, but even more so, Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley. He's kind of been a cleaner in American dioceses. He's gone to three or four that have had these sex abuse crises, and he has he's a Capuchin Franciscan. He's got a lot of credibility. Just the other day, he told the Boston Globe, we need to find a way to hold bishops accountable. It's not just these priests who abuse, it's the bishops who are responsible for those priests and didn't send them to the police when they were supposed to. The thing is, a guy from the United States, where we've had this great scandal, knows what it takes. The United States Church, as you know, tough as it's been in terms of the toughest stretch as it's been in the headlines, is way ahead of the rest of the Catholic world in terms of cleaning up its own house. You get a cardinal who becomes a pope from another part of the world, and goodness knows what skeletons could be in his closet.
Christine in Howard Beach, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hi there. What I'd like to see in a new pope is more of a progressive pope, more a pope that gives women more power within the church. Today's day and age, our nuns are able to do everything in terms of saying a mass, except, you know, as well as giving out the host, but not able to bless the host. So I just think that they could be more progressive.
Christine, thank you. Any chance of that, David?
No chance of women priests. That's not going to happen. At least not in our lifetime. But there are other things certainly opening up, and some of the cardinals have been talking about this. It was International Women's Day, happened just during these pre-conclave deliberations, and they did talk about the necessity to open up more roles in the church and in the Roman Curia, they were even saying, which, you know, there's no bar against having women heading some of these departments in the Curia. And, you know, opening up.
Whoops. Did we lose David? All right. We're going to have to get our line back to David Gibson in Rome. But let's hear what more of you have to say in the meantime about what you want in a pope. Amy in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I really enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you.
And as a Catholic, I think I agree with the first two callers in that I'd love to see a more progressive pope. I'd love to have a church that feels safe for me, that I can feel confident bringing my children to, that I feel that they're going to move into the future with my children, be more accepting of people's differences, more tolerant of women, and certainly to really address aggressively the sex abuse scandal, because it's almost become sort of a stigma to even be a Catholic. And, you know, you have friends who say, how can you send your children to an institution that higher up in the institution, they covered up for these men and they protected these men. And it's a real conflict for a lot of, I think, young Catholic families.
In that context, and as a New Yorker, are you rooting at all for Cardinal Dolan or against him or ambivalent?
I don't really know if I have someone I'm necessarily rooting for. I certainly think that, you know, he has the right ideas and would sort of lead us in that direction. But at the same time, I would hate to lose him in New York because I think he's fantastic for us here.
Amy, thank you very much. And we have David Gibson with the Religion News Service back on the line from Rome. And David, these callers who are hoping for a progressive cardinal or a more progressive, forward-looking cardinal on gender and some other things, there is some talk that they're looking for a younger candidate for pope than in the past, certainly younger than Benedict, who was 78 when he took the job. But I wonder if that has to do with longevity alone, or would a younger pope be likely to have a more relaxed set of policies, as, you know, often younger people tend to subscribe to as time goes on, you know, socially?
Yeah, I think, you know, a younger pope would have a different take on some of these things. I remember insisting to somebody at one point years ago that Benedict is so conservative, and it was a Vatican official who said, no, he's not conservative, he's old-fashioned. You know, he is conservative as well, he was conservative, but he's a very old-fashioned man, a theologian, a scholar, very academic, not a real people person in any way. And there are a number of cardinals out there, particularly some younger ones, and also those, I think, some of those from the Southern Hemisphere, who just have a different life experience. I mean, as much as anything, this is about a style of being a pope, not being just a teacher, you know, talking about doctrine, laying down the law, but relating to people, you know, being a little more like John Paul II was, and being open to people and making people feel welcome and not just sort of, you know, pointing out to what, you know, things that people are doing wrong all the time. So it's really a stylistic change, and that can be a huge kind of change for the church, I think, just in how it's presented to the world.
And when they say perhaps a younger pope to help lure back younger Catholics, what age are they actually talking about? I've heard references to people in their 60s when they talk about younger in this context.
Yeah, it is all relative. For them, this the cutoff pretty much seems to be 70. They want somebody younger than 70. There's a very popular among the public candidate is Cardinal Luis Tagle of Manila in the Philippines, but he's 55. That's just a little too young for them. They want a pope. They're amazingly traumatized by Benedict's resignation, you know, the first pope to resign in 600 years. Everybody around here, the word that keeps coming up is that's destabilizing. You know, this is just not done. Popes get carried out with, you know, their boots on, and they want somebody who will stay in the office and not resign. You talk about a 55-year-old, well, you know, who knows? That could be a 30-year pontificate. They don't necessarily want that. You get a 68 or a 70-year-old, well, that seems like it's a little more reasonable.
So somebody who would lose their health care if they raised the Medicare age.
Exactly.
Greg in Princeton Junction, you're on WNYC. Hi, Greg.
Hi, good morning. I was calling, I heard one of the cardinals, I think the other day on the news, I think he was from Ghana, an African cardinal, and he just struck me as the kind of person that had this Christ-like demeanor. He was thoughtful, he was articulate, and I was quite frankly inspired by him. I would like to see a pope from the developing nations, from Africa, from Latin America, from Asia. I think they deal with the reality of what our faith is, and that's my great hope. Someone like Pope John Paul II, I think that's why he inspired people. And just to one other comment I heard, I was glad that Benedict did resign, because as much as we love Pope John Paul II, in his last days, it was very difficult for us to watch him, and I would prefer that the pope would resign and make room for a new pope to lead the church.
Thank you very much. And the Ghanaian cardinal, what's his name again?
Peter Turkson, had a lot of buzz, you know, going in, but seems to have fallen away. I think that'll, you know, disappoint a lot of people.
You know what strikes me? Greg was the first person to describe his ideal pope in this whole conversation as Christ-like. We've been talking about somebody who's younger, who has youth appeal, who has good political skills, who's got good PR skills. Greg said Christ-like.
Yeah, and that's really, again, that's getting back to this is a relational job. You're the supreme pastor of the church. The other thing, you know, everybody, we started at the top of the show talking about reforming the curia. That's a huge task and something they want, you know, the new pope to do. But the other huge thing they want a pastor. They know that Benedict just did not connect. They want somebody who can be Christ-like, who can relate to people. But as my friend, you know, Father Tom Reese says, what they want is Jesus Christ with an MBA. That may not exist. You know, you're talking about two very different things. And I think, you know, as the caller said, you want a pope who's a real pastor. You can delegate. You know, you can hire a CEO, you can hire a good manager, you can get some cardinals in there to crack the whip on the curia. You can't outsource charisma or a Christ-like way of being, that connection with people.
Jesus Christ with an MBA. Since we can't top that line, we better leave it there and see what actually happens in Rome. We thank David Gibson, national reporter for Religion News Service, covering the Catholic beat and covering the conclave that begins shortly. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig on the tutoring imperative. How much of your family's income would you spend to get your child into the right public high school? Stay with us.